guys in prison didn't know that. So. You recognize the riot that was Flight of the Bumblebee? Figured you'd get that one. Well, we've been talking about this Jesus guy. We've been talking about this stuff called the Beatitudes a little bit. For those of you who hadn't heard this before, that little passage I read from Matthew's Beatitudinal section was from the Wycliffe Bible. Had a couple odd words in it, but I've been jumping different translations. I've been checking them to make sure they were accurate. I just didn't pull things off and I didn't put bad translations in, but that one has some funky words in it. We're going to talk about it in a minute. But today is also Palm Sunday. And I made, as I always have, palm crosses and diapers for you. Palm Sunday. I can have one there. Palm Sunday. Jesus is prophet. There's a PH over there. Jesus is priest. Jesus is king. Jesus is Lord, which happens to be the oldest confession of faith. And it's biblical. Jesus is Lord. Jesus is God. That's the one. This guy Jesus, he was either a liar, a lunatic, or he was the Lord. I didn't come up with that, but it's true. In order to go around saying, yeah, I'm the Son of God, I'm the Son of Man, I am the Lord God Almighty, you either got to be nuts. And today they'd lock you up in Bellevue, if you were in New York City, anyway. With Napoleon, as long as not you know those people. Or they say you were lying, we don't believe you. Or it would be true. We believe it to be true. But the establishment? Just the head guy of a religion, like Sun Young Moon, or Brigham Young, or Name of Hope somewhere. That was the establishment's attitude way back yonder. Way back yonder. Before Jesus even, with the Jews. They didn't like their prophets and such. But then, like today, too many people flip-flop their attitude. How many politicians do you hear about that they say, regardless of party, I'm going to vote to lower taxes as soon as they get into office, they write a bill, says, raise taxes. Usually wait a month or so, but you know what we're talking about here. They flip-flop on issues. A lot of people get Jesus today. Oh yeah, I get him. I mean, he gets me, man. I get him. Like on Palm Sunday, they get Jesus. But on Thursday, they turn their backs. They flip-flop. Just like they did then. The Jews were not Christ killers, by the way. The Romans killed Jesus. But the Jews that were responsible for turning him over were the leadership of the Jews. Not the common people, but they turned on him too. On Thursday. But as Tony Campolo used to say, Sunday's coming! That might happen on Thursday or Friday, because Sunday's coming. Sunday's coming. Soon, Sunday's coming. You know what? Sunday's still coming. Every Sunday, we gather for worship, we celebrate a little Easter, a little resurrection. But the big Sunday is coming, Might be the way she refers to it. But the big one is coming. Sure. Jesus, in this part of the Beatitudes, told his disciples not about the glory of what's coming down the road, but about the glory of being persecuted. You know what, Andy? You're ugly, and your wife dresses you funny. You're probably stupid, too. And because of that, you got to wait in the hall. You can't be in here. If I followed through on that, if I did it every single time I saw him, I'd be persecuting him, right? I'd be picking on him unless, of course, all that was true. Then just stating fact. But if I'm picking on him for that, I'm persecuting him. Jesus told his disciples that they were going to be persecuted for right wiseness, which we usually call righteousness today. But I like the idea of right wiseness because it means a little bit more. It's got a little bit more oomph to it than righteousness. It implies deeper understanding and tending towards the correct, the right. I'd say correct. If I say the right, you think it means Republicans. But it leans more towards the correct in the world. And living that way, heading towards the right, the correct, can get you in trouble. Don't forget that. Will get you in trouble. Guaranteed. If you live right wisely, you will get in trouble. Because the ruler of this world doesn't like it. That's one of the odd things about reality. God owns the world. Anyway, he made it. It's it, right? He has absolute sovereignty over the world. Whatever he wants to do, it he can. But he doesn't rule it. He lets somebody else rule the world. That ain't Jesus either. We had no problems. Satan rules the world. He warned them. Jesus did. One thing he didn't say, though, you know, he told them out. Persecution, he didn't say, watch me and see what happens. But they did. Now, all the disciples, they've been hanging around for a while, a couple, 3 years, and they knew his history. Mom, was you ever meet anybody and have a little bit of time? They say, well, you know, you might not want to get too close to me. I got a history. Or something like that. I mean, you hear about things. Yeah, okay. Or, hey, Bob, would you go do something for me for Dean? He said, oh, no, he and I got a history. You know, can't do that with Dean, right? Jesus had history, and his disciples knew it. He had a history of being a troublemaker. I don't know how far back it went, because we don't have... Actually, he was 12 years old. He was a troublemaker. He was in the temple talking to the elders. Didn't go back with his parents. Caused them fits. He was a troublemaker. Right? What happens when you lose a 12-year-old? He's supposed to be there. You panic. They panic then just as much as they do now. But he was a troublemaker. Early in his ministry, they, big air quotes here, wanted to kill him in his hometown of Nazareth. He was in the synagogue, and he raised a ruckus. All he did was read a little chunk out of Isaiah and said, see that? That's me. All they tried to throw him off a cliff. That didn't work out too well. He criticized the Pharisees. They ticked him off, or ticked them off. They started conspiring against him. They were walking through a wheat field, and he let his disciples pick the heads of grain and eat it on a Saturday, on a Sabbath day. Got it from the Pharisees there. He touched lepers and let bleeding women touch him. Unclean, nasty people. And he healed them. He didn't care. He ate with publicans and tax collectors and other types of sinners. He raised up dead people. In some cases, typing it was made among them. Scandalous. He met with Samaritans. Notice there was the woman at the well that we talked to. He stayed there for 2 days. And the Jews and Samaritans were like this. They did not get along real well. They were not associates. And probably worst of all, he cleaned out the temple. So my favorite piece of scripture shows there is such a thing as right wiseness, anger. Jesus chased the bad people out until they repented. But he was shameful, his history. Now today, Palm Sunday, he tops it off. His history is coming to a close. And he tops it off. He comes to town. He comes to Jerusalem for Passover, one of the highest of the highest of the highest of Jewish holy days. He comes to town. Not secretly. Not just coming in like we would do, you know. Let's pack up. We're all going to go together, right? We're just going to get there and get some rooms and hang out. No! He goes riding in on a donkey. Not making an ass of himself. Pun totally intended. When I was little, I'd say, hey, Ma, can you take me someplace? She said, you shanks mirrors. You know that expression? Shanks mirrors. Shanks. The walk. People in the ancient world didn't ride unless they were rich. They used shanks mirrors. They walked. Jesus was riding into town for Passover on a donkey, fulfilling prophecy. A mere carpenter from Nazareth in Galilee. A nobody from nowhere. But a nobody with a big mouth. He had challenged authority before, sometimes verbally, sometimes through actions. But this was outrageous because the people responded to him enough. It was a direct attack against the established. He questioned authority. Now, remember those bumper stickers you got made up for the church? That's the second bumper sticker I've ever put on a car in my entire life. Okay? My first one I put on in about 1977. I had a Volkswagen Beetle. And I had a rust spot on my bumper about that long. It was right where the bumper turned. So I bought a bumper sticker to cover it. That bumper sticker said, question authority. Okay. I've never put a bumper sticker on my car. My favorite bumper sticker I've ever owned, though, said, the main thing is to keep the main thing the main thing. That's hung in my office for years. He questioned authority. I've always questioned authority. That's why I bought that bumper sticker to hide that thing. I didn't do it to promote questioning authority, but that's my philosophy. And Jesus questioning authority, challenging, could not be tolerated. It would not be allowed. He had had his day. He had had his triumphs. Not big ones like this before. You know, maybe Lazarus. That was a big thing. But, you know, he had water into wine, and lepers and blind men healed, and demons cast out. That was pretty much tough. People were impressed. But he made enemies long with the good publicity. Doing the right thing. Remember I just talked about that? Doing the right thing got Jesus persecuted. You ever been persecuted for doing the right thing? Right thing? It should be. You should be very familiar with that. In the Bible, especially in the Old Testament, persecution was defined as the hostility, harassment, suffering inflicted upon believers for their devotion and obedience. You've got to remember, the apostles and all the Jews around them were running on Old Testament information. So when Jesus said persecution, that's what they were thinking of. And the devotion and obedience was to God. It was right up with people like Jeremiah and Elijah, the prophets. They got beaten, chased on a run. And they were running because they called out their respective kings on God's behalf, and they didn't like that, so they got retaliated. Now, in the New Testament, persecution was still defined as hostility and harassment and suffering inflicted upon believers for their devotion and obedience to God, but now that included Jesus. And we just started reading through the book of Acts, and we go through and find people getting arrested, thrown in jail, beaten, all this kind of good stuff, right? Living righteously in a world that essentially demanded unrighteousness, unrightwisedness. Welcome to our reality. You can get along much easier in this world if you were unrighteous than that. Ligonier Ministry, where this conference you're going through in a couple weeks, sponsored by Ligonier, they define, I'm not sure if it's religious persecution or if it's Christian persecution, but it's applicable to any religion, actually. So I'm going to say religious persecution is this. It stems from opposition to God. It can range from social mockery, you really believe that crap? And discrimination to imprisonment and death. I.e. Uyghurs in China that are in internment. It's viewed as an inevitable consequence of godly living. You live right, you get in trouble. We're familiar. Hope you are too. Hope you got in trouble. So here's our hero, our model, our prophet, our priest, our king, our Lord, our God, who's a troublemaker, inciting us to persecution, to cause, I wrote down difficulty, but that doesn't seem like it's big enough. To cause difficulties. And that's nowhere near the truth. Jesus is just telling us how we should live. When he says to these people, blessed are you who are persecuted for rightwisest sake. But that's how we should live. We should always be rightwise. Always. And the consequences? We just need to be forewarned. I call it, I don't care, because I care. And I don't care. If I think something is right, I do it. I don't care about God's will, because I care more about doing the right thing. You ever lie? Everybody probably goes, yeah. I don't. Bob, we're not having a surprise birthday party for you. And we're planning a surprise birthday party for Bob. Don't tell me not to tell him. I can't even lie to him about that. And Andy, if you were ugly, I wouldn't lie about it. I would say, close. It's hard, but I don't care because I care. It's got me in trouble for years. I don't worry about it. I just do what's right. And that sometimes drives me angry at us. I get in trouble. I think I've gotten in more trouble since I've been part of the church. I mean, as a pastor. Than before that. But I've always gotten in trouble. I once told the head of the hospital to shout and sit in the corner and run an experiment so that he wouldn't screw it up. I'm going to fire him. He wanted me to apologize to him. I said, no. I apologize about the way I spoke to him, not what he said. I was not derogatory in the way I said it, but it was just, it wasn't very nice the way I said it. I didn't get fired. But if I get in trouble, I don't care, because I do care like Jesus cared. Jesus cared an awful lot to ride that donkey into town. He wrote him down not as a glory hound. Hey, look, everybody, I'm the king. See, I'm fulfilling prophecy. He could have claimed the kingly title that day, and he probably would have gotten it. If you recall, he says the stones will cry out if I tell the people to shut up. But he didn't need it. He didn't care because he cared about what he was doing. He cared enough to forego the kingship, say bye to Rome. He cared enough to be persecuted and hung on a cross. Because he cared enough to not care. Damn the torpedoes! Full speed ahead! That was Jesus' kind of mindset. We didn't have torpedoes. That's what it was. So, thinking that, all I can tell you, like Jesus, wave your palm branches for peace. When your palm branches are a sign of peace, you're content. Plan for you. Let us go to work. Amen. Let us